You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Denmark triumph at the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf.
Amazing. It's been an incredible week. We've enjoyed it so much and got very tight today, but it was a very exciting day and we knew it was probably going to go down the wire.
We'll congratulate Søren Kjeldsen on the show in a few minutes' time after he lifted the World Cup trophy with teammate Torbjørn Olesen. We've a full review of the action from Australia and we'll also look ahead to two events at the start of the new European Tour season, the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa, as well as the Australian PGA. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Ewan Murray. Ewan, how are you?
I'm in good form and nice to be alongside you, Dan.
We're looking back at the World Cup of Golf first and foremost. It's an event that has captured the imagination of the world's best golfers over the course of the last few generations, really. We had Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus play. We had Tiger Woods win as well. And it was nice to see you in a strong field play down under.
Yes, a lot of players put that on the schedule at the start of the year and they stayed true to it. And quite rightly so too. They have the most wonderful courses down there in Australia. It was a magnificent venue for the World Cup and we were rewarded with some fabulous golf.
We were indeed, none more so from the Danes. They won the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf for the first time. Søren Kjeldsen and Torbjørn Olesen claimed a thrilling four-shot victory at the Kingston Heath Golf Club. Astonishing play from both members of the team, especially Ewan in round two when they combined for a 60.
Yeah, incredible score. And it's very difficult to have two different disciplines. You have the foursomes and the four-ball because they're so far apart. Foursomes are a very difficult game to play and they coped with that very well. And I think that was the foundation of the success.
Obviously, with the four balls, you can lean on your partner to a certain extent. I mean, it's a different type of event than it was a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it was a good move to split it up, 36 holes foursomes and 36 four-ball better ball. It's good for the fans. In the four balls, they see plenty of birdies. In the foursomes, they see a much more difficult game and they have to be more disciplined to play that game. And no question, the Danes were top-notch at both.
Yeah, dominant all week. We mentioned that 60 in the four balls on Friday. When it came to the final day, they had a four-shot lead going into it, but because of the nature of four balls, a four-shot lead sometimes is not enough.
Well, they would know that, having shot the 60. They know what could happen. And when you've got players of this quality playing in an event like this, it's no great surprise they can get round in 60 in four balls. So that would be at the back of their mind. And as they got towards the turn, things were becoming a lot tighter. Then you've the added pressure and all of a sudden you're being hunted by half a dozen nations.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? Kjeldsen and Olesen only turned in level par, and when China's lead birdied 10, the lead was briefly cut to just the one. Then Kjeldsen reopened the gap, but a woo birdie on the 11th cut it once again before Olesen hit back. We had good final days as well from the American pairing of Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker, also from Alex Noren and David Lingmerth for the Swedes, and Noren's had an astonishing season. He would have fancied his chances of getting the Swedes to top spot at that stage.
Well, for sure, the way things have gone in the course of the last 5 months, no player higher on confidence than Alex Noren. But you said it earlier, you look at these nations and sometimes they've had weak teams, and I say that with the greatest respect, but each nation there had the strongest team, and I was thrilled for China. China really has moved into the world of golf gracefully over the last 10 years, and they challenged in the end as well.
Is there a lot of expectation on the American team? We saw maybe a generation ago now, the likes of Freddie Couples used to turn up and play in the team, and the Americans for a short period of time were dominant as they were going back in the history of the World Cup of Golf. Do the Americans look at this event and think we should be winning every single year when it is played?
I think they probably do. You mentioned 11 couples. They won four consecutive years from 1992. And you go back further than that and you have the wonderful partnership of the late Arnold Palmer alongside Jack Nicklaus. So I think when America tee up in any event like that, they're only thinking of one thing.
Olesen came good towards the end. And when we look back at his previous win in Turkey, he wobbled to a certain extent on the final day going into a big lead. But he's made of stern stuff, isn't he? He can certainly soak up that pressure. He seems to have that cool head down the stretch.
He does, and yet you look at the events before Turkey, the 10 events before Turkey, there's 8 missed cuts in there. There's no top 50 finishes. And I spoke to his caddy, Dom Bott, in South Africa the following week, and he said, I promise you, that win came from nowhere. I find it very difficult to understand why players can go through that poor stretch and then produce brilliance, which is what he's done, and he's followed that up alongside Kjeldsen here.
Yeah, speaking of turning things around, I mean, Kjeldsen's game over the last 18 months, I guess, it's been remarkable. He won in Ireland, as we know. He performed so well in a couple of the majors this year. What's changed in his game, do you think, over the course of the last couple of years? Because he was out in the wilderness, really, wasn't he?
He certainly was. He was outside the top 300 in the world, but he changed caddies just before that Dubai duty-free Irish Open win at Royal County Down. And for some reason, it was a new Søren Kjeldsen. It was one who has been reborn. He's always been a hard worker. You wouldn't say he's one of the longest hitters. He's certainly one of the most consistent players. He works on his distance control every tournament. When he turns up on a Tuesday, he finds out how far the ball's going. He's a model professional, Kjeldsen, then. Now on the wrong side of 40, as Jimenez was, you know what could be ahead for him.
Well, there was a nice tweet from another Dane, Thomas Bjorn, on Denmark's World Cup win. He suggested, nothing short of brilliant. Well done, Mr. Kjeldsen and Mr. Olesen. You've both worked so hard, and this is a well-deserved reward. Well, I'm very pleased to say that Søren Kjeldsen joins us now on the Race to Dubai show. Congratulations, Søren. You obviously really enjoy playing team golf with Torbjørn over the course of the 4 days down under.
Yeah, it was a magical week in Melbourne. I think Torbjørn and I, our friendship got really strong during that week, and I think that was the key ingredient for our great performance. We had so much fun on the course, we had so much fun off the course, and it was just one of those magic moments.
Nice to see Thomas Bjorn showing some respect, calling you Mr. Kjeldsen and Mr. Olesen. That's about time that happened. Thomas, of course, the Pied Piper of Danish golf. You've now got Made in Denmark, one of the most successful events we've had. What will your win do for that event in 2017?
Well, I hope that, first of all, it's just a great story. And I think great stories are always great to get them out there. And I think it's a great story because it's the older player and the younger player, different styles. Different backgrounds, but coming together as one team and you know, doing something special. And I think for me the main thing is the whole friendship bit. And I think that's very important in a tournament like the World Cup of Golf, where you try to build friendships across borders, and with golf being the main thing. And I think that's why it's such a successful event, and I was very pleased. And hopefully that great message will be good for the country of Denmark.
Søren, you had a four-shot lead going into the final round, but it certainly got tight down the stretch on Sunday. Were you ever concerned that maybe you would be overhauled?
Yeah, it was. There were a few moments there where it was when we bogeyed 8, which is probably the easiest hole on the golf course. You know, we both made 6 out of nowhere, really, par 5 that you can very reachable in 2, and it sort of got within one shot there. But you know, to be honest with you, Torbjørn was exceptional on the back 9. Torbjørn made 6 birdies on his own on the back 9, and. And I think looking back, he sort of did the same thing when he needed to in Turkey a few weeks ago. So the whole week, I think we played really well. And I think especially on back 9 on Sunday, I just feel that Torbjørn really stepped it up. And in team golf, you know, it's pretty special to have a partner like that.
You play on some wonderful golf courses throughout the course of the season. And looking at your words after your victory down there in Australia, Kingston Heath is now up there with one of the very best you've played.
No question about that. Kingston Heath is just an amazing golf course. And I think what was really interesting was the week before in Dubai, just the buzz in the players' lounge about the guys going down to play a golf course. And I mean, we see the best golf courses in the world week after week, but players were so excited to go and see Kingston Heath because we all heard so many great things about it. And I don't think there was one player that was disappointed. It was just an absolute treat to play a golf course like that, and it's definitely one of the best courses I've ever played.
Søren, obviously, you've won the World Cup with Denmark. You played well in a couple of the majors this year. When you look ahead to 2017, what are your aims and ambitions?
Well, my ambition for 2017 is the same as it was for 2016, and that's still to strive to become the best player that I can be. It's something that I work very hard on every single day. And that journey, to be on that every day, is what excites me, and that's what gets me up in the morning. And I'm just really excited about that. This year I've learned a lot. There's been disappointments. There's been, you know, great successes as well, and that's part of that journey, and that's why I keep exploring. I try pushing the limit the whole time to see which direction I should go in, and that whole thing is what excites me, and that's what I'm looking forward to in 2017.
Søren, well, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. Really well played to win the World Cup for Denmark. Have a great remainder of the year, and we'll speak again soon.
To you both, the Great Danes, have a good month off.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Well, the win for Denmark completes excellent seasons for both Kjeldsen and Olesen. Both finished in the top 20 of the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex, with Olesen extending his streak of winning seasons on the European Tour to 3 with victory at the Turkish Airlines Open. Denmark's previous best finish at the World Cup had been in 2001 when Thomas Bjørn and Søren Hansen finished in a tie for second. Let's move on to the rest of the contenders. China first up. They were one of three teams that finished tied second, four shots behind Denmark in the end. Their pair were both European Tour winners, Wu Ashun, and here's Li Haotong.
Lost a couple holes. We missed some putts, you know. Decent finish, and hopefully next year play great again.
7 under for the final rounds combined with that Sunday 65. There's a lot of expectation on Chinese golf, Ewan, because of the development of the golf courses and the big events that they have there. And it's nice to see some Chinese players making their name in the game.
I think that's a big step forward for them. I've known Li Haotong since he was 16 years of age. He was coached by an Irish PGA professional that went over to join forces at Lake Malaren, which was the venue for the BMW Masters. So I've watched his development, and he's the real deal, and that's exactly what they need. They need a youngster there that younger people can look at and say, if he can achieve that, that's going to be my goal. A bit like Matsuyama when he won the HSBC. They now have a shining star.
And of course, Zheng Hongwang was Rookie of the Year on the European Tour, another Chinese golfer, so things are very much looking up.
Yeah, two victories for him, second in India as well, an amazing first season, and still a young lad. And we saw down in South Africa that he's ready to challenge for the bigger events, and it won't be long before he's knocking on the door in the majors.
Alongside China on 16 under were Team USA with Jimmy Walker and a philosophical Ricky Fowler.
We wanted to get out to a quick start, and we knew we wanted to go out and play aggressively, and we hit the shots, just didn't get anything to go in early. So, yeah, it felt like tee to green. We didn't really miss many shots. I mean, it's always nice if you hit it a little bit closer, but really just didn't get the putts to go in early enough. Both of us didn't play as well as we would have liked to, but it was fun. Not a bad finish, but not what we exactly wanted coming down here.
They gave it a great run, Ricky and Jimmy. And as we mentioned previously, the United States always tend to send good teams and established players and world-class players to this event. They came up short, but Ricky Fowler in particular, he's a player that loves to play in these events all around the world. He's a global golfer, there's no doubt about that. Not an American that just stays on the PGA Tour and in his home nation.
No, and you can add Jimmy Walker to that. Now he's a major champion. Of course, he has to take his skills around the world and show it off. And I'm sure Jimmy Walker will do that. You had the Players' Champion or past Players' Champion in Ricky Fowler, this year's PGA Champion in Jimmy Walker. So they gave it a good run. There were only four behind in the end. Three of the rounds were in the 60s, whereas the Danes, who won, only two of their rounds were in the 60s. So they were close.
Nice tweet from Jack Nicklaus. This was ahead of the final round, wishing the USA pair good luck. Jack tweeted, Arnie and I had a great run at the World Cup of Golf. Best of luck to Team USA, Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker, and the rest of the teams down under. We mentioned it before, but Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, Marco Mira, all of these great players from the USA, and they gave the World Cup of Golf the respect it deserves.
Without question, and they have a duty, as great players, they have a duty to take their talent around the world and show it off. And Nicholas was brilliant at that. Palmer was probably the man who started that. And it's good to see now we have one or two young Americans who don't believe that the world ends over on their first coast and the West Coast.
Also tied second after a 9-under-par final round with a French team of Romain Langasque and Victor Dubuisson, who we can hear from now.
Oh, it was a great day. I think we can really do any better, 9-under. It's a great score. The pin position was so difficult. Romain started the round really well. He made some very important putts on the first 7 hole, which are the more difficult of the course. Then I made a good birdie on 8. We were 4-under. I mean, we were always both on the fairway and on the green, so we had many birdie opportunities.
Victor Dubuisson's comments there. He's not had the season that we thought that he would have in 2016, or indeed 2015 for that matter, but I think we've seen a little bit more of him over the last few months, Ewan.
I think when he plays more regularly, he's a better player. Now, there's quite a few golfers like that. I always thought Ian Woosnam was one of these players. If he put together 4 or 5 tournaments in a row, you would get the very best out of him. I think Victor has to look at his schedules, perhaps, and improve on that. There's no question about the talent he possesses. And, of course, he's still a very young man, so we'll hear plenty more from him, I'm sure, in the course of the next few seasons.
Well, if you think France's 9-under-par final round is impressive, then you should hear about the 10-under-par Sunday for Sweden's Alex Norén and David Lingmuth, lifting them to 5th place on 15-under after return to form for Lingmuth.
I played a lot better today. Alex has been carrying the load for our team the first few days, and today I was able to help out a little bit, but then Alex made a bunch of birdies too today, so we were a great team today, and it was a lot of fun. Nice to finish on a good note. One over yesterday could have been, you know, a couple under or something, and we would have really been in the mix.
Better start and a better third round, and Sweden could have won. And I guess when Alex Norén tees up at the moment, we expect it. Nice to hear from David Lingmuth there as well. He chipped in also. Sweden, like the Danes, a rich golfing nation at the moment. Lots of players who are really bang on form.
And what a year it's been for that nation. Takes you back to Royal Tryn in the 63 from Stenson. The brilliant performance from Stenson over the course of the last 3 or 4 events to win that race to Dubai for the second time. So a great year for Sweden, a vintage year.
Ewan, we need the top 10 from the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf.
Well, as you said, there were some big names there. And in a tie for 9th, Adam Scott and Mark Leishman from the home nation tied with Shane Larry and Graham McDowell. Spain were in 8th place, Rafa Cabrera Bayo alongside John Rahm. Looking forward to seeing him in 2017. Matsuyama, the HSBC champion alongside Ishikawa, were in a tie for 6th. With Francesco Molinari and Matteo Manassero. Good to see him back to form. Top 5, Alex Norén and Lingmuth, Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker, Wu Ashen and Li Hautong, alongside Victor Dubuisson and Romain Langasque. So there was quite a battle going on there for second place, but it was the Danes that came out on top down under.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips from last week. Now, on the face of it, a couple of top 20s from the boys last week, Robert Lee and Jamie Spence, is fairly impressive. But then we remember that there was, 28 teams in the World Cup of Golf. So therefore, Robert Lee's tied 13th for Belgium and Jamie Spence's tied 9th for Ireland is not as good as we first think.
It leads you into a false sense of security, I may say.
Indeed. We expect more from the boys. Hopefully you'll get more from myself and you when the tips come around for this week's 2 events a little bit later in the show. Remember to check out the European Tour website for their Fantasy 3 to watch for this week's events, both of which we will indeed preview in a minute. On to other news and 2 awards to tell you about. Nacho Elvira is the graduate of the year after he finished 44th in the race to Dubai, 6 places ahead of nearest rival Brandon Stone. The award goes to the best performing player to have graduated from the European Challenge Tour the previous season. And Tyrrell Hatton's breakthrough victory at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship has earned him the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month Award for October. The Englishman produced a stunning 62 to equal the course record at St Andrews in the third round before an accomplished 66 on the old course sealed a 4-shot victory.
Well, obviously it's a special award. You know, I had my first win. And I think I've got another top 10 in there. So it was a good month for me and obviously as a Hilton ambassador, I think it was about time I was close to winning one of their awards. So, but no, it was a really good month for me, and hopefully I can win many more.
And many congratulations to Tyrrell Hatton. Meanwhile, Alex Norren and Padraig Harrington were voted second and third, respectively. And a reminder that Tiger Woods returns this week at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas on the PGA Tour after 16 months away from competitive golf. Whatever you think about Tiger Woods, it's great to see him back on the fairways, Ewan.
Oh, for sure. 16 months, however, is an awful long time. 6 months is a long time to be away from competitive golf, but he is Tiger Woods, and we don't know what he's going to be like when he returns. The last time he was out for the best part of a year, he came back with some pitching and chipping woes. He seemed to get over that. It will all depend, really, how he plays that first round. If he gets some enthusiasm, some encouragement from his performances, then Woods could probably turn back the clock and put four decent rounds together. But I think that's all he'll be looking at right now. That would be a success.
On to this week's action on the European Tour. At the start of the new season, of course, and the new race to Dubai, presented by Rolex, two events to talk about. The first is the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek, where Charles Schwartzel was champion here last year, and that was for a fourth time. Leopard Creek is a venue we've seen on our television, of course, over the years, and the players seem to enjoy it as well. What type of golfer can be successful around there, Ewan?
A patient one. It's a very difficult golf course by Mpumalanga. It's just by the borders of the Kruger National Park, and the South Africans have done extremely well there down the years. Schwartzel, I think, will probably start favourite. Difficult greens, one or two slopey greens, quite a bit of change in elevation on the golf course. It's a really good test, and down the years, it has produced great champions. Alvaro Quiros was one of the players who managed to win for the very first time on the European Tour there.
And it presents an opportunity, doesn't it, for the rank and file of the European Tour, some players who are playing European Tour proper for the first time, maybe, to get that all-important first win. And you mentioned Schwartzel, we've got Brandon Grace. It's a decent field, isn't it?
It is a good field. And Darren Clark, the Open champion of 2011, has made his way down there. Struggling for form right now, Clark, but, you know, when you're as good a player as Darren Clark, as you never know, just one good round can change many things.
We need some winners, or we need a winner. We need some selections. Ewan, who are you going for this week?
Well, you're probably going to go for the favourites, because I know you quite like the favourites. But I've actually looked a bit further down the field, and if I was to have a home pick, it would be Dean Burmester, a young player who's coming through, like Brandon Stone, like Hayden Porteous, tremendous amount of promise there. So I'll have one eye on him, but my pick for the week is a young Englishman by the name of Eddie Pepperell. Now, he's been far too good a player to have to go and visit the qualifying school. It's a wake-up call for Pepperell. He won't want to have to go back there again. I think he'll be very pleased that he's managed to get his card back right away so he can plan for next year. And I think he will go into 2017 a European Tour winner with success at Leopard Creek.
Let's hope that Pepperell does well. Let's hope he has a good season. You're right, I am going to go for one of the favourites. I'm not going to go for Charles Schwartzel, although many will do, and you can certainly see why. But Brandon Grace is going to be my selection. We know what a terrific player he is, and on home fairways, I'm fairly confident that we will get a little bit of a run from Brandon Grace.
That's what I like about you, Dan. You really do put your neck in the line, don't you?
And I'm going to do something similar for our second event, because after the ISPS Handa World Cup of Golf, there's another European Tour event in Australia this week. That's the Australian PGA Championship at the RACV Royal Pines Resort on the Gold Coast in Queensland. Nathan Holman is the defending champion. It's a venue that we've seen used for this event before. Again, what type of player do you think he's going to be successful down under? Do we look for those local players, or maybe can a European or an Asian Tour pro perhaps be successful?
No, I think you do look at the local players. They feel very comfortable in their own homeland. They know these courses fairly well. And I don't need to ask you who you pick. It's probably Adam Scott anyway. But I'm going to go for a chap you may or may not have heard of. His name is Cameron Smith. He actually finished in the top five in the US Open at Chambers Bay in 2015. This lad is a great talent, and I think he will come through and have that trophy in his hands on Sunday.
OK, I'm going to go for Mark Leishman, who, a little oddly for me, didn't defend at the Nedbank. He played on the PGA Tour instead, but he has come home to play in this event. He's got a couple of top 20s this course as well. So back on home fairways, I'm hopeful that Mark Leishman will win. I've not gone for Adam Scott. He is the favourite, but Mark Leishman is one of the bigger names that is certainly going to play in the Australian PGA. But there are some star names performing as well. It's mix and match once again. We've got the likes of Scott Hend, a European Tour winner. And again, there'll be a number of pros desperate to get that European Tour win so they can sort their schedule out for the remainder of the year.
Yes, and you look at Ian Poulter. He spent all of this year out with the problems he's had with his foot. He went over to play in China. He played in the CIMB in Malaysia. Beginning to get some pace now, Poulter. And don't be surprised if he does well down there.
That is your lot for now. Next week, we will review the Alfred Dunhill Championship and the Australian PGA, as well as preview the UBS Hong Kong Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. But for now, from Ewan Murray...
Look forward to it next time, right?
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.